Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us.
Hello, we're back.
Welcome back, ladies.
Happy New Year.
Twins.
I know. Me and Maya said that at the same time. 2026.
Twins. Let's just like acknowledge that we all want 2026 to be a good year for us. Mm-hmm. And I favorited and saved a lot of quotes about that towards the end of the year, about it needing to be a better year. And also like to have more ideas for the podcast and like new content too.
Very nice. Yeah. I saw a lot of things about 2025 being the year of the horse, I think it was, or the snake.
Snake, yeah.
The snake, which means for a lot of people was it like a shedding year because snakes shed their skin. And so 2026, I think, is the year of the horse. And I could be totally wrong, but that year means everything you let go of will come back fuller. So that's something I've been telling my clients. Hopefully I'm getting it right and not telling them the wrong information.
Like, let me Google this real quick. There's plenty of people out there that are
probably like
saying my therapist said.
It was horse.
Okay, is 2026 a year of the horse? Yes. Specifically, the dynamic fire horse. Beginning on February 17th with the Chinese New Year and lasting until February 7th, 2027, bringing themes of passion, freedom, boldness, and rapid progress in the Chinese zodiac. This is an AI overview on Google for citation purposes.
Perfect.
Look at that. So a new year of, what'd you say? Excitement or like?
Passion.
Oh.
So passion. Like, happening. Oh, freedom.
Freedom.
Boldness and rapid progress.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So 2025 was necessary to shed off and let go of the excuses or situations to get us to 2026.
Yeah. Yeah, the fire horse apparently only occurs every 60 years, which is creating a potent year for ambition and new beginnings.
Ooh.
I love that. Endings and beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
We will take it.
It's kind of ironic, though, because our series... What we're starting with in the new year is reflecting on our past, but we did it because we did get questions, feedback. Listeners wanted to know, like, how we all met and the background of us becoming social workers and navigating the field. And so we just figured we would start a New York series.
In New York.
Come on, Morgan, do it again. You can do that. Lisa,
please. My voice is so tired. In New York.
There we go. There she is, folks. Wow. Well, welcome back, listeners. We know you missed Morgan singing. Maya will sing at some point. We know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
But we are talking about New York. And I wonder if people wanted to hear about it because I feel like we're evasive when we talk. Like, when it's come up naturally on the pod, we're like... New York,
our pause were like vague.
It's like there clearly is something more there, but none of us are chatting about that. So here we go. This cannot be done in one episode. Just can't. We looked at the stuff and we said we would not be doing this justice if we tried to rush it. We can't even do it justice, honestly, but we're going to try our best, and that requires... another series.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So welcome.
All right, where to start? What's like a question we've gotten from listeners and viewers to like start us off?
Well, I guess maybe because this could be an opportunity for like new listeners, I figured, because in our first episode ever, we talked about how we met in graduate school. So we all went to school in New York for a social work degree. And we figured this also could be a good part to maybe do later too, of explaining the ins and outs of social work school, because that's an important piece where, you know, I think the field itself, there's a lot of questions of like, what can you do and what does that look like and all of those things too. But I think that's a good place also to begin of like, we were just fresh in it. I think, you know, post right after undergrad for us three, straight into a new city, which happened to be New York City of all places. So very vibrant and loud and explorative, and just really being able to go to school there, I think gave us a lot of opportunities as well for like the people we interacted with, met, and of course the work we were able to do as well too. So I think just kind of starting with that, I don't know what it was like for you too when you first moved there on like first day of classes, and like if you had that nervousness or excitement or fear even around like what things would look like too. But I'm trying to put myself back in that mindset. What was that like too?
Nelly, you take the mic.
What? Why me?
Oh, because I feel like you have an answer ready.
No, I don't. I'm like, I don't know. I don't like, it's exciting to think about though.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. It kind of hurts my head to think about it because I'm like, that was so long ago. But I think it was exciting. I mean, I personally always loved New York City. So anywhere that, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm glad I'm here because I love city life and New York in particular. I know it's busy and loud and everything that comes with it, but I just loved the energy. And then with school, just that idea of like, we're walking through the city to go to our school, you know, and then walking around for like different things and taking the subway to like my internship and all of those things that I just was able to learn and really like immerse myself in, I really liked too.
And I think going off of Maya, for Maya and I think it was a little different because where we're from in Maryland is very suburban. So being in a city, especially a big city like New York, was a whole new experience and an adjustment. And I talked about, I think last year's last episode was about my anxiety history. Can't speak. And I think my anxiety amplified in New York City because it was just all new. And I just had no idea what it would be like. Doesn't mean it wasn't fun and a great adventure, but it definitely taught me a lot. Yeah, I learned a lot.
I mean, I can imagine it being like a huge shock because as someone who's like pretty much most of my life, someone in my family has either lived or worked there. It's so I've like gone to the city very frequently and it still is a lot. So I can't imagine like not really growing up around there, but I grew up 40 minutes outside of the city in a commuter town in New Jersey. And I really just like moved there because I wanted to be close to my family. So I went to Penn State for college and discovered that I do not like suburbia and, well, more rural. That was more rural.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Yeah, that was more rural, but I was like, this is not for me. And I still am a huge city person. My partner's not so much, but I am. And I love, like, but looking back at it, it's kind of crazy that I moved there because, like, alone, because I don't know. Like, that's very unlike me. I'm pretty risk adverse. So like that feels like a big move. But again, I feel like I didn't realize how big it was during, because it was just like, oh yeah, moving, like this is it. And but then like living there, I was like, whoa. And I loved living in New York.
Yeah.
Apart from some things.
I was like, what did you love though? What were like
I think my favorite thing was like you could walk down a street and see all different types of people and things. And like, I loved that. I think because there are so many different parts of my identity and I don't feel like I fit into like a specific box or population that really exists, I just was like, oh, there's like all different types of people everywhere. And like, even just walking down a couple blocks, you'll see tons of different types of people, whether that be like personality, fashion, race, quirks, like ethnicities. I don't know. It was just like everything. And I really liked that a lot, but it was definitely off-putting. Like, I like that in some ways, and then in other ways, it was really off-putting, like seeing somebody struggling, like next to like super wealthy people, and being like, this, like, this feels very like two different spectrums.
Sometimes felt wrong. And because Nellie, Maya, and I, where our school was located, we lived towards the Upper West Side, Harlem area. And at that time, and probably still now, I haven't really been over there in some time, but at the time we were there, a lot of gentrification was taking place. So a lot of redoing and renovating apartments and row homes and things like that, brickstones, and turning them into like luxury type places. But that meant a lot of individuals and people of color had to be displaced. I think for me, that was always kind of awkward in the back of my mind. So I'm like, I'm sure the locals, like people who've lived here forever on this street or in this building, are like, look at all these new people who have renovated apartments and kicked out my friends or my family. So that was something that was always a little eerie.
And it's like not something I feel like the school did like enough discussion or work around, really just recognizing infiltrating someone like other people's space and making sure that you're doing so in the least disruptive, what, like, I don't know, it was messy and we'll get into it, but it was messy for sure. And I feel like that's like kind of the part about New York is like there's like the things that make it beautiful sometimes also make it really challenging.
And
But
a lot
yes.
of cities are like that, but it was just to be there first, like in it. Because 125th Street, or 125th is what I call it, that's a really popular street. That's where the Apollo Theater is. There's a ton of Harlem. It's like the touristy, you see it in the movies, all the things. We lived right, Maya and I lived like right over there. But even that area was changing rapidly. Hear the way, like our neighbors had been in our building since it was built, really, just to hear the way they talked about the changes and everything was kind of sad. It's like the history, the culture being taken. They put a Whole Foods in, which, the Whole Foods comes.
It's crazy. I'll
Starbucks on like every corner was starting to be a thing
The Whole
too,
Foods
and
happened like right when we were, and we were all like, wait, what? This is not like
world.
not into like people read the room. It's just so not okay. But yeah, I it was a hard watch. And like, I think also it was hard with our classmates sometimes being like, oh, like I found a really cheap place that's like freshly renovated. And we were like, well,
Right, like what does that mean?
yeah, that's called gentrification. So yeah,
It was a lot. I feel like a thing, well, since we were talking about like favorites, I was really thinking about food. So I personally still to this day like to visit New York at least once or twice a year. There's just it's just a different world in terms of food. And like
It
we
is.
talked, I know we talked in an episode when Nellie said she cannot live without bagels. We talked a lot about like the New Jersey, New York bagel pizza conversation, which is very valid. So I think again, food in New York is just it's just different. It's open late. There's always something available. Even like the worst maybe pizza spot is better than anything, right? Like here as well. So I feel like we would try. I mean, we're also we're grad students, so take everything into context of
Yeah,
like we're navigating New York, kind of broke, and
broke.
yeah, trying to also explore different parts, different boroughs, different areas as best as we could. And I think food was a big part of that, of trying to just find, our favorites too. I feel like us three went to a lot of happy hours. We went to a lot of Mexican restaurants in particular. We went to various, like, I think we had a good nearby location of different, like, taverns and stuff like that too. So we tried to do that.
Yeah.
We had a lot of local small business mom and pop shops around us,
Yeah.
which I don't know if it's still like that, but it was
Oh,
really nice.
I hope so. But yeah, I think we should also preface that, like, this was almost 10 years ago. So,
Right. That's why I'm
right.
like, I don't know what it looks like now.
That's crazy to think about, but
Yeah.
that's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
Old, but
I
we
was
were
telling
so
someone. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
young. Oh, sorry, I cut Maya off. But I was gonna say we were so young, and what Maya said when we first started talking in this episode about all of us going straight after undergraduate school or undergrad and our bachelor's degrees, Maya, Nellie, and I were usually the youngest almost all of our classes, which was an interesting experience that we'll talk about later. But that just goes to show we were so young, just living out there.
So that's what, when you said like favorites, Maya, I was thinking like New York just like feels, even when I go back now, like it just feels like young, wild, and free. And
Yeah.
when we were there, we were young, wild, and free. So I guess we really got to live that, which is a lot of fun. And I know, like, looking back, I know I'm gonna like love that we got to like do that in our like early 20s and whatnot, but I don't know. It's just like, even, I don't know. I feel like despite the age, it's just like young, wild, and free. But we definitely were young, wild, and
Oh
free.
my
And
God. I'm telling and anxious.
anxious. And anxious beyond.
Young,
We
wild,
had a
and
good
free,
amount
and
of
anxious.
people like visit us, I would say. All of us like had friends, from outside visit, family members visit. So I think that's where we did a lot of exploring too. Like, I really hate tourist stuff now. Like, when I go back, I'm like, I will refuse to go
Yeah.
like Times Square, all of those things, love it, but like also I'm over it. So I think there were just different things we were able to do to explore with other people too, and like to show them like this is like a place we found, or like this is a good happy hour, or like, brunch is for a while, which I've been corrected recently by younger generations, but for a while, DC was like the brunch capital of the world. And then when we were living in New York, they brought it over. We were doing brunch a lot. So we were just trying to find good deals. And I felt really proud of myself to be able to bring my friends and be like, see, like, this is just as good
Just good.
as home.
It's so interesting. I never thought about that. That like when you were having people visit, you guys were like, look, we can compete.
We can do it.
Do it. Yeah. I mean, there's an epic photo that one day maybe we will share of us with the Mimosa Tower.
I was like, what photo?
I know. There's
I know, I was like, whew.
a lot we're not sharing, but I know what photo you're thinking of, Morgan. Not that
Yeah,
one.
I was like, oh.
Not that photo.
I wasn't even thinking of that pic. That's so funny. We just
Not
would
that
really
photo.
try to find deals, because I mean, still, even though it's been 10 years, New York has always been on the pricier side. So I don't think that's changing anytime soon. We are navigating like, expensive prices for like food and groceries and, everything as well. And I think that was also something we had to navigate too, of like, what can we afford? And we would often share like a pitcher of ciders
Yes.
together.
Tell the listeners about why cider was big for us three.
Our beer era.
Our beer era, which none of us drink beer really, but like cider was always the cheapest option for happy hours. So we would go with people from school sometimes and just get a pitcher of cider, because it was like, would come out to like $5 per person. We're like, great. So we had so much cider. We're like, now I can drink it sometimes, but it no
Oh.
nowhere near like what we were doing.
Angry Orchard
Yeah.
cider
Yep.
like gives me like acid reflux. I
Yeah.
feel like I'm like,
We
ugh,
stayed doing
state.
that. But I was telling my friends yesterday, that I love an Aperol Spritz, but I explained like it was just because that was also just always on happy hour anywhere I went. So I just don't really, I don't think I even really liked the taste at the time, but I was just like, I mean, it's the cheapest thing here, so I'll just drink it. And now it's my favorite drink. Always something that stays with us
There's always.
from our
Should
experiences.
I tell the listeners about my hack for drinks, including
Sure.
salad dressing?
Yes.
Thank me later, listeners. But if, hypothetically, not saying I did this, if you lived in a really expensive city where drinks were really expensive, you could put liquor in a salad dressing container and bring that with you, and then order a Sprite or a cranberry juice and then make your own cocktail. That's just a potential idea. It's n definitely not something I did. Or
If
use
they
like a
don't
flask or
your
something.
bags,
The way the Tupperware looks,
yeah, I was like,
you
they
know,
probably check people's
like they
stuff,
did check. That's why
yeah,
you have, well, I mean, sorry, in this hypothetical
or
situation, obviously they're gonna check bags and then you go in, and so that's why you can't use a flask. That's why you have to put it in. Oh, sorry, this is my leftover Tupperware from lunch. Never got questioned.
interesting. They're like, all right, she has a lot going on.
Love
They're
how
students.
craziest things you guys have done, our listeners,
Yeah.
with that. But
So New York brings out the crazy in people.
yeah,
It
we'll
does.
talk about that too in our next episode of what we witnessed in the different boroughs we worked in for
Okay.
our field placement slash internship is another word. But something I was going to mention is Maya, to this day, still has a running list of all the places we've eaten and places she's been recommended, things like that. So, whoever knows us, or in general, maybe we'll post like some of our favorite spots in New York for our listeners and viewers. You guys can check it out next time you're there.
Queen.
Yes.
Yes, I just like to stay organized and don't want to forget a place because, you know, and again, I don't know, honestly, I don't know how outdated the list is, so I don't know if some of these places are even still there, but you know, it will.
We'll check.
Yeah, we'll double cross-reference, but yes, it's a lot. And I think too, we did a lot of stuff with people from our school, so I think that's also a big chunk of our experience too, is like meeting lifelong friends from grad school and a lot of our experiences with them navigating the city and school and stuff as well too. So that's like, I feel like I have good memories. I always tell people it was like, and our program was 2 years, so we had a good time to kind of like mature and, you know, I feel like I left a different person than when I went in, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Which we'll also talk about.
yeah.
Program.
That was also like a thrown into the fire situation, which you'll hear a little bit more about in part two. But a lot of identity development occurred.
Yeah, it was necessary. So, you guys, so Nelly said she loved the culture diversity, being able to walk everywhere. Nellie's a walker. She's a runner, if you've heard
She's a drag star.
track
That's
star.
relaxed now.
And Maya's favorite was the food and all of that. I guess both of you like the happy hour deals. My favorite part of New York was, I think, just like the architecture
Okay. I'm
and
sorry.
the diversity as well, which can be the people, the food, the culture.
I knew it. I was like, Morgan's gonna say the people I met along the way.
Yes.
Morgan's answer is so Morgan. Like,
She
he's like, I liked the architecture and the people I met
does.
along the way.
Like looking up at the skies.
I literally was the same because whenever we would walk places, I would always look at the buildings, and some of them were so just the detail. Like, wow. So beautiful.
Yes.
Crickets.
Mai and I were more focused on getting to our happy hour destination, but we did enjoy the scenes along the way.
We did. We also, on the block Morgan and I lived on, they were filming that show with
Oh,
Forest
yes.
Whitaker for a while, like towards the end. And I don't know what that show's called right now, but
What
oh, I
show?
think it's called someone, not King of Harlem, something like that.
Yeah, well, start doing some research.
And they were filming literally like the apartments next door. So I remember coming home a few days a week and they were filming and you couldn't like walk through because they wanted like the old brownstone of Harlem type. So they were filming there. And then, of course, like what Morgan mentioned earlier, 125th Street, very well known. A lot of soul food restaurants, that kind of thing that people like go and visit. But they would film a lot there too. Another movie, but again, blinking on the name, would film like on those streets because the brownstones are very historic, authentic
Are you
too.
thinking of a Godfather of Harlem?
Yes, Godfather of Harlem.
There we go.
It is.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So it was cool. There's just so much to do in New York. And there's
Yeah.
a lot we weren't able to do within 2 years, which is surprising. Every time I go back now, and I was just in New York in October, there's always new things to try and see and do in all the boroughs. So I think that's what I also love. There's just so much.
Yeah, there's so much to do. And I think that's the fun part and the exhausting part. I feel like
Yeah.
when I think of New York, I feel like I remember myself like either having all the energy in the world or being like so exhausted and can't wait to get into bed. So,
Yeah. And the shin splints in the beginning when we first moved there.
well, all three of us had to walk through a park with a lot of stairs
Yeah.
to
Ooh.
get
So much
to
walking.
from where we lived, because we all lived around each other, and then to get to class. So we had a lot of stairs, which now Maya would not be able to do this.
Be able to. Well, I couldn't do them then, actually. I would have to pause halfway through these stairs they're
Oh,
talking
yeah.
about and like catch my breath, and they'd be awkward because there were like these exercise groups going by and they're like so quick. And I'm literally like 20, whatever, 25 or something, and just not,
You're like
no,
23.
25. It was like 23. Yeah. Not being able to like get up these stairs. You live and you learn.
Those stairs were brutal because we even made my now husband do them when we went to visit, and he was like, "Woo!" And he was like out of breath and was like, "These are brutal." I was like, "Exactly." Took those to class.
And we walked those to go to class. What?
I know. Well, you could walk around,
That took so
but
much.
if we were late, it just made sense to run.
You had to just go.
I
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
know.
Crazy. But yes, New York was a very fun time. And we did meet, I will say, like, I feel like in all three of our cases, the people that we still talk to from grad school are like very close to us.
Yeah.
So I think that says something that like we don't just have like kind of acquaintances from grad school, that like we did meet some core people in our lives. This podcast wouldn't exist. So
Exactly. And as you know,
and
oh, go ahead.
nope, go ahead.
I was going to say, as the listeners know from our first ever episode, Maya and Nellie met first. They were in a class together. And from there, I met Nellie. And then we realized we all kind of lived near each other. And the friendship just kind of, I guess, blossomed is the word. From
Yes.
so,
I'm
well, I will say, hold on. Nellie and I had our first ever social class together, and I would recognize her because it was a big lecture, and it was like a semicircle, so you could see everyone who was there. Nellie sat on like the smart side, which was like people who like paid attention, always volunteered to answer
right.
questions,
Did the readings.
did the readings, which was cool. I was on the opposite side of those of us who would crack jokes and be like, "What are we doing in class? What are we supposed to be doing right now?" That was me. But I remember Nellie. She doesn't remember me, but we didn't talk at all because we didn't have any like group projects or anything that I remember in that class. So technically, I knew Nellie first. But
really didn't know Morgan first.
right, so sorry, no autographs.
The child, yes.
But yes.
But true and facts. And I thought you guys were the same person because you looked very much alike then. I mean, you still look alike. I don't know, but you looked really alike then. And Morgan, you like always wear your glasses now, so
I do all the time.
that's a new development that I think makes it easier for newer people. But yes, I did not know you existed as a separate person, so I probably thought that was high in my class. But it was, yes, our class. I was gonna say that, like, I think part of the friendships being so strong from grad school are because, like, you go through a lot in grad school and you experience a lot. I'm trying to say this without giving away too much for our next part, but like, you just experience a lot in certain settings and that can bring you closer to certain people. So, which we will expand on, but my gosh, was grad school something? And so we talked a little bit about like the New York of it all. Is there something that surprised you about like the social work of it all?
Is that a good question to start with for part two?
Maybe. But
Maybe.
I think it was like we learned so much about the field that we also could share later the various internships we had because we all had various settings, which I think was cool. So, yes, we all learned different aspects of social work. And I think that surprised me the most, if I would say.
Me too. I think honestly, what surprised me the most that still sits with me is like we started our internship, like we started working with real people the same week that we started our classes. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, we're just like thrown into these worlds and
Yeah. I'm like, wait, you don't learn how to be a therapist first? You just like, or be a social worker first? You just get thrown into it. And like, yeah, that was wild. That was a wild, wild ride. I was like, that's crazy. But thankfully, I had a really good support system. My supervisor for my internship was phenomenal and still someone that is of support today.
Oh, I love that.
She's
I
the
love
best.
it. But yes, I feel like that's a good question too into our because I think part two we will explore some of the lows since we did talk very highly about everything, which isn't false. Just there's of course twofold highs and lows, pros and cons. But looking at the lows of being students of color, women of color, social workers in training at the time, in various spaces that were predominantly white, and our school as well being a predominantly white university. So I think that also could help our answers or guide our answers with what you were saying about social work as well, too. Yeah. All right. Which means you have to stay tuned and listen to part two of our segment, listeners.
Where we get into the juicy details of why we always pause when New York comes up. If you are curious about our evasiveness, our, distance, or whatever you may call it when New York comes up, you're about to hear why.
Yeah. All right. See you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Peace out.
He's up.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.